The superintendent of the school system that serves Hagerstown, Maryland, is the next superintendent of Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools. The CMS board today announced the hiring of Clayton Wilcox. He begins July 1st. Wilcox has been in his current position since 2011. He's also served as a superintendent in the Tampa Bay region of Florida and in East Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And he has served as a senior vice president for Scholastic, which sells books and educational materials. Wilcox spoke to WFAE's Lisa Wharf this evening from Hagerstown. Wilcox noted that a familiar name helped convince him that Charlotte is a good place to work and call home.
The company that did the search actually reached out to me, and I think one of the recruiters kind of knew of my background, having been in a big school district, but also having spent some time in some real challenging kind of urban situations. He actually said, Clayton, you ought to look at Charlotte. And then as soon as he said Charlotte, I said, absolutely. And partly because I knew a former superintendent, Pete Gorman, who was there. And I had been to Charlotte vacationing and done other things. But what Pete had done is he just told me what a great place it was, what a vibrant community it was, the great support that they got from the school system. And quite frankly, Charlotte has a national reputation as being a great place for kids.
Now, the district where you are at now in Hagerstown is about 22,000 people. And I know you've been in some bigger districts than that. What do you make of moving from a district of that size to something like Charlotte, where you have this sort of urban and rural mix?
Well, what's interesting, you know, is a microscopic kind of view. Hagerstown is the Charlotte, and then some of the surrounding communities like Davidson and others are some of the surrounding communities that we have. So I think one of the things that does for me is kind of helps me understand the dynamic of those who sometimes feel forgotten, those people who aren't city center, those people who aren't tied to some of the economic hub, if you will, of the area. So I think that was important. But please don't forget that I was a superintendent in Pinellas, which was the 22nd largest school district in the country, 115,000 kids spread across 28 municipalities. We had our own police force. We had 900 buses that ran. So I've had that experience. And then also I was a senior vice president for corporate relations at Scholastic in New York City. So I had kind of that urban kind of vibe in New York City, but I also then traveled around the country.
What do you know about what the district is trying to accomplish with their new student assignment plan?
I've spent a great deal of time looking at it, and I think what they're trying to do is maximize opportunities for kids. They're trying to make sure that when young people go to school, they're not just going to school with kids who look and act just like them, but with kids who have kind of diverse backgrounds. Typically, they're going to focus a little bit early on about economic backgrounds. And I think when the belief that kids who come from more privileged backgrounds oftentimes bring background skills that all kids will benefit from. But I think sometimes we fail to look at the other side of that. Kids who come from more challenging environments often bring skills and abilities that some of the kids from privileged backgrounds don't have. So I think we can learn from each other, and I think that's the environment they're trying to create, is more of a learning environment that's more than just reading, writing, and math. It's really about learning social skills, how to kind of navigate a 21st century economy where people look different than you, people act different, they believe different things. And so I think there's a richness in what the board is trying to do, and quite honestly and frankly, it resonated with me.
Is it nice not to have to deal with the decision-making itself, which can be and has been contentious and come in at the end of the process?
I mean, there is some value in that, but then I think there's probably also going to be some people that will say to me, you don't know the struggle we went through. so I'm happy that a lot of that hard, grueling work has been done. Some of that raw emotion has been released. But at the same time, I think the work sometimes of implementing can be even more difficult than the work of planning. And so, you know, I'm prepared to really roll up my sleeves and try to make the vision that the board has come to life.
One of the challenges CMS faces is all this competition, either from charter schools, there's an increase in vouchers. How would you approach those challenges here?
The competition, I think, is healthy. I think if all people play by the same set of rules, then I'm fine with it. I think, you know, we need to make sure that our schools are the schools that families choose. So the challenge is really on us. So, you know, we can complain a lot about charter schools if we want. We can complain about the private and parochial schools. We can complain about the academies that are popping up in places. But quite honestly, we have to realize, why are they popping up? People are choosing to go there. And we need to make our schools schools of choice. And that's kind of the mentality that I'm going to bring to it. It's a healthy competition. But I will also be somebody who will advocate for a fair set of rules. Let's all play by the same rules. Otherwise, the competition really isn't fair, is it?
Like what rules?
In some portions of the country, you know, the accountability rules that apply to charter schools aren't the same that apply to public schools. In some schools, the funding mechanisms are different. And those are just things that we're going to have to look at carefully and address and see, are there some that put us at a competitive disadvantage? And, you know, should we seek that same advantage that they have?
So recently, your contract was extended in Hagerstown, but it was a split decision by the board. Why is that?
I really think it was not really based on the performance that I had as the superintendent, but I think what it was based on was the fact that we were facing an upcoming election that we've just gone through. And the contract extension came ahead of that election. And I think people said, well, you know what, wait, we're going to have some new board members. Let's let them make this decision along with those who had been previously elected. Yet some of the board members who were looking to leave said, no, we want to do this. And so I really think it was more of a philosophical discussion between board members as opposed to a referendum on me. And I understand that.
Now, here in CMS, our last superintendent was forced out early. Did that give you any concerns when you were looking at the job?
Well, it did give me some concerns. But, you know, in talking with people in the Charlotte community, I understand that. The other thing is that the, you know, kind of the fraternity of superintendents or sorority, depending on your point of view, is a fairly close-knit group. So, you know, well, Heath was kind of honor-bound to not share the circumstance that took place, and I respect that. I think a number of superintendents kind of took some guesses at it, and my sense is it happened for whether or not the right reason. The fact is that it happened, and you just have to know that when you're in these jobs, they're somewhat precarious. So it didn't scare me. It just it perhaps said to me, be thoughtful, be smart, be yourself, and get good work done for the kids of Charlotte. And if you do that, what took place with the former superintendent is not going to take place with you.